At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university, online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your host, Patrick Lyons. And we've got the World Series set, the 2024 Fall Classic. It's going to be the New York Yankees against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Maybe, perhaps like we all thought was going to happen, but most certainly like it usually doesn't. The two teams everyone had their eyes set on in going deep into October, into the World Series, they don't always usually get there. And they're going to be going against each other for the first time since 1981, Yankees against Dodgers on Friday. How'd they get here? Well, the Dodgers, you probably just saw them wrap it up Sunday night, a 10-5 victory over the New York Mets, seven relievers combined on a very unsexy bullpen game. That is not the way to sell the postseason if you're Major League Baseball, but seven guys get the job done for Dave Roberts, who are forced to go without Freddie Freeman, who's been dealing with a sprained ankle since September 26th, was only 3-for-18 in the series and with a left-hander and Sean Manaea on the hill. He got the day off, was potentially available for some late at-bats, but he'll now get four more days off before game one of the World Series on Friday. We saw early on Tommy Edman getting the job done twice with two RBI performances in the first and the third inning, four RBI in game six, en route to 11 RBI in just this series alone, ties Corey Seager for the most in a postseason series when he was the 2020 NLCS MVP. Tommy Edman, deservedly the 2024 National League Championship Series MVP. Pretty impressive stuff from a guy whose career high in RBI was 57 RBI. That came in 630 plate appearances. He also had 691 plate appearances in another year, but 57 was his most RBI and gets about 20% of that in a week against the New York Mets in a series that the Dodgers score 46 times against the Mets, the most for any team in any postseason series, 46 runs scored. The offense got really hot. Teoscar Hernandez was not hot. He was actually cold coming into this game, was 0-for-18 in the series before a solid day, hit one that he thought was out in the first inning, only got a single on a ball that hit the wall in center field. He ends up going 2-for-4 with an RBI. Feels like he got off the schneid just a little bit after a really solid series that we saw against the Padres in the division series. We had Manaea versus Kopech, aka a bullpen game, one of their best arms going in the first inning to quiet the top of that Mets lineup in Lindor, Mark Vientos, Pete Alonso. It did end up working for the most part. Mets were able to scrap a run out of that first inning, but then the Dodgers quickly come back with that big hit by Tommy Edman, the two RBI double in the bottom of the first. And believe it or not, that was the first lead change of this entire series. The entire 2024 NLCS was one team getting a lead, running away with it, and holding on to that lead. In fact, all six games of this series were decided by four or more runs. This is now only the second postseason series in baseball history where you've had four or more runs being the deciding difference. First six games of the Twins-Dodgers in the 1965 World Series went that way. Dodgers ended up winning that World Series. So really, this was all or nothing kind of series. And even in the games in which the Dodgers lost, they had a lot more fight in them than the Mets and looked a lot better in the losses than the Mets did. That's a pretty easy takeaway. But as I said, we had a bullpen game for the Dodgers, and they had their best arms still available to them in this series. And the Mets needed not only depth from Sean Manaea, more importantly, they needed him to go out and absolutely shove in a hostile environment at Chavez Ravine. And unfortunately, he was not able to do that. That's why you ended up seeing in this game early on, Edwin Diaz needing to come in and get big outs in the fourth and fifth inning. It's why Kodai Senga ended up having to come back. He ends up giving up three runs. And you say, well, if the Dodgers aren't able to get three in the eighth, maybe the Mets can make a go of it, push and force a game seven. And then it's anyone's game at that point. It's anyone's series. But the Mets were not able to get that done. And the Dodgers were. Really good job managing the bullpen by Dave Roberts. Still had Evan Phillips and Blake Treinen incredibly well rested. Daniel Hudson as well. He had not pitched in about a week in this series. Evan Phillips and Blake Treinen combined for only 3 2/3 innings pitched with no runs allowed through the first five games of this series. Phillips was fine. Scoreless inning of work on Sunday in game six. Walked two. Blake Treinen, absolutely outstanding. Struck out the first four batters that he ended up facing late in this game. Goes two innings. Does end up giving up a run, but nevertheless gets the job done with his third save of this postseason. So the bullpen was in great shape. And they're going to be in great shape with four more days off before Friday's start to the World Series. Yankees, I'll talk about them in just a moment. Their bullpen very much needs four more days off after getting one on Sunday. I don't know if they've really got one on Sunday because they were partying pretty late on Saturday night to celebrate their first World Series berth since 2009. But Mookie Betts entering this game was 6-for-10 with two homers, five RBI. Or rather, he was 6-for-10 with two homers and five RBI over the previous two games. And he pretty much picked up where he left off. 1-for-4, had an RBI, stole two bases. Part of the dynamism of this Dodgers team. They're dynamic. If they're not able to do it with their power, they're going to draw walks. We saw Max Muncy do that in droves. They're also going to be able to steal bases. Otani, Betts. It's pretty obvious that they've got a lot of things that they can do to win a ball game. Despite the fact that they might not be healthy and they might have been banged up for the entirety of this season, they got the job done. They were talking a lot on the broadcast about the team going down to Camelback Ranch and starting out their journey in February. And when I was there, I was a part of that early journey and the conversations that they were having about going deep into the postseason yet again, but probably and possibly having more success than they've been in the past, than they've had in the past. Now, this will be their fourth World Series in the last 8 years. But keep in mind, it was 2017, 2018. They won it in 2020 during the pandemic shortened season, winning that down in the barn that is Globe Life Field in Texas. But they didn't get it done in LA. So there was a lot of unfinished business. And the Dodgers end up winning the National League at Chavez Ravine in LA at Dodger Stadium for the first time since 1988 when they did that against the New York Mets, coincidentally. And Dave Roberts saying in the post-game conversation with Tom Verducci, hey, four more wins. LA, do you want a parade? Because they haven't had one since 1988. There was no parade for that 2020 team. There's also no parade for the 2019 Washington Nationals, which is a real shame that they really never got a chance to celebrate. And they've been off the map. They've been off the radar since then. They've struggled badly. Whereas the Dodgers, every year they're in it. Every year they're going right to the division series. They get that first round bye for having one of the top two best records in the National League. But their journey started at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, in Arizona. And they talked about what they wanted to do. And I can remember hearing Dave Roberts answer the question about, well, what else can Otani do better? If he's not going to be pitching, he's just going to be hitting. He's a great hitter. What else can he do? Dave Roberts floated that idea. You know, he can steal a lot more bases. And I don't know that anyone would have thought that he would steal 59 bases. Unheard of. Literally. Because with 54 home runs and 59 stolen bases, we just have never seen that combination of power and speed before. So the journey began in Arizona, and it may end in LA, it may end in New York, but it might end with lifting that commissioner's trophy and securing their first normal full 162-game World Series since 1988. Unbelievable. Otani had a 1205 OPS through the first five games of the series, added a 2-for-4 night with one walk, two homers, five RBI, nine walks in total in this series. So while he seemed to be human in the early parts of the series, then heated up when the games went to New York, had those two home runs, seemed human. But at the end of the day, you look at the numbers and yeah, this is a superstar. This is a Hall of Fame caliber type of player doing it on the biggest stage so far and doing it on the biggest stage for the first time. He's on this stage. That's going to be a conversation this entire week leading up to Friday, leading up to the start of the World Series, is that Shohei Ohtani has never played on this level. Say what you want about the World Baseball Classic, and there's a lot of guys who have played on that level in the WBC, but those games are played in March when everyone is not at their peak. It's also when everyone is not totally beat up. And it's also a time in which there's better players on the field when we know about the innings limits and the detractions, if you will, from the WBC. So yeah, Ohtani has been on a similar stage, but like this, and now considering he's going to be going to New York again, which he just was, and he played great. But for the World Series, the entire baseball-loving world, the entire sporting world is going to be focused on this. Again, one of the conversations this week, I think for a lot of Rockies fans is, you know, who should I root for here? Well, I can't root for the Dodgers. I don't want to root for the Yankees. I don't know that I want to watch this World Series. Don't do that to yourself. You're better than that. Frankly, if you're a baseball fan, you should be watching this series with serious intent. Two of the best teams in the game, not just because the playoffs have said that. It's one thing last year, we had Rangers and Diamondbacks. Hey, the two best teams from each league. Was it? Look, there are certain things that limit the regular season that you just can't have parity in the regular season. With teams with $300 million payrolls and teams that are under $100 million. Getting to the postseason, it can happen in all kinds of different ways. But once you are in the postseason, now you've got parity. Now anyone can beat anyone in one of these elimination-type tournaments. But now that we've got the two best teams from the American League, and rather, the two best teams in baseball, the best team in the AL, the best team in the NL, going head-to-head, we've got the two best teams. We also have the two best players. We've got the two players that are going to win the MVP in each league, respectively. And for the first time in baseball history, we have a pair of players who've hit 50 home runs during the regular season facing off against one another. How can you turn away? How can you avert your eyes from this if you love baseball? This is great. This is great for the sport as well. We all love baseball. If you're listening to this, you love baseball. You're addicted to it. You probably listen to it because you're a Rockies fan. If you're not just a Patrick Lyons fan, but if you're a Rockies fan, yeah, you're addicted to baseball. You're addicted to Denver sports, but you're more likely addicted to baseball. And this is going to be an all-timer. Whether or not we see an unprecedented amount of runs being scored, or whether or not Judge or Ohtani wins World Series MVP is besides the point. We have the two best teams in baseball facing off against one another. And it's not often that that happens. It's been a while, I really think, since we've had these kind of matchups. I'm going to be breaking it down this week. The number of Hall of Famers that we're going to see in this World Series. It's going to rival a lot of other ones. A lot of Hall of Famers on both of these rosters. So if you love baseball and you want the sport to grow, it's not going to die. It's not dying off. But look, sports losing some viewers to other sports. And to get that foothold in there for the sports-loving world, sports lovers in the United States, this is a great way to bring them in. And you, listener out there to the Rockies Insider, you are an official ambassador because you've been paying attention all year. You know these teams. You know these players. You know the storylines. So go out there and teach those other sports fans who are trying to baseball in October. They mean well. They try to do it. You've seen Stephen A. Smith try to talk about baseball. It's not great. It's not pretty. But you can actually help them out just a little bit. You can be the aficionado because you know what's going on. This is going to be a great World Series. I'm very much excited for this. Dodgers win their 22nd National League pennant in franchise history, their 13th since moving to Los Angeles. And as I said before, fourth time in 8 years, LA goes to the World Series. You know what? Tip your cap to the Mets. They fought the entire series. I'm not even going to say that their mojo, their momentum died out. They just met a better team that did what they needed to do. That's that. You know, they were down 6-1 going into the top of the fourth after the Dodgers had scored two. Boom, Mark Vientos battles back, two-run home run. His 14th RBI of this postseason, setting a new Mets postseason record. Dodgers score one in the bottom of the sixth. Mets get one back in the top of the seventh. Mets struggled this entire series to hit with runners in scoring position. Left the bases loaded twice, stranded them. You can't do that. Nevertheless, this was a great year for the Mets. This should not have been the kind of year that the Mets had. They sucked the Mets fans in, and you know what? They didn't really break their hearts, I don't think. Yeah, there's a lot of Mets fans out there disappointed, just like there's Guardians fans that are disappointed. Are they totally brokenhearted? A lot more Guardians fans, I'm sure, than Mets fans, because this was a bonus. This wasn't supposed to be the year that they did this. How did they even do this? It was a Rocktober kind of run. Well, granted, it was over the course of about 3 months rather than 3 weeks. But they had a lot of momentum going into the postseason. They just barely got in. And that way, it was like the Rockies in 2007. And they were the team to beat. They absolutely were until they crossed paths with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the Yankees, they get in. You might have seen it Saturday night, 5-2 in 10 innings. The big at-bat. The entire game was one at-bat. Juan Soto in the 10th inning, three-run home run. Great at-bat against Hunter Gaddis. Recommend you go over to MLB.com. Great article that Manny Randhawa, good friend of the show, good friend of mine, co-wrote, breaking down pitch by pitch that incredible seven-pitch at-bat. Soto getting behind 1-2. Saw three sliders. Got pitch number four, a changeup. Was able to foul it off pitch five. Fouls off another changeup up and outside. Pitch six, slider outside, fouls it. Then Gaddis goes with his third best pitch, fastball up and away. Soto turns around on it, hits it just to the right of center field. And that's it. Only second Yankee ever behind Aaron Boone in 2003 with a series-clinching walk-off home run. Not a walk-off, but a go-ahead series-clinching home run. And it's crazy to think that Juan Soto, who's going to get $500 million this offseason, he's 25 years old. I'll say that again. Juan Soto is 25 years old. He's younger than Brenton Doyle. He's younger than Nolan Jones. He's younger than Michael Tolia. Of the Rockies you know and love, position player-wise, the only players that are younger on the Rockies right now than Juan Soto is Hunter Goodman, Ezekiel Tovar, and Drew Romo. That's it. That's it. Incredible. Giancarlo Stanton, ALCS MVP, four hits, all home runs, 7 RBI. In his two previous series against the Guardians in 2020 and 2022, he only had 4 hits in those two series. Coincidentally, they were also home runs. So of the 8 hits that Stanton has in 3 series against the Cleveland Guardians, they've all been home runs. Wild. And it's wild to think Emmanuel Clase, a guy that I'm still going to put him as the top closer in the game right now, even after what he did this postseason. Because again, small sample size, it's a different time of year. He'll bounce back. I'd still give him the ball in the ninth. I'd still give him the ball in the eighth, just like you and I should be giving the ball to a Clayton Kershaw, despite some of the poor performances he's had in his past. Not literally, because Kershaw is done for the year. We won't be seeing him in the World Series, unfortunately. But Manuel Clase was bad this postseason. Had a 0.61 ERA for Cleveland this year. In 74 games, in 74 and a third innings pitched, he had given up 10 runs, only 5 of which were earned. 5 earned runs this entire season. And in October, he gave up 8 runs, all earned, in just 7 games and 8 innings pitched for a 9 ERA. He gave up 2 home runs in those 74 regular season games. In October, he gave up 3. As Harry Ralston Black would say, that's baseball. That is baseball. Cleveland walked more than the Yankees. They struck out less, but just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And so now the Yankees are going to the World Series. First time since 2009. Hey, bro, Truth Speaker over in the YouTube channel. So far, Judge has gotten carried throughout the postseason to the World Series by Soto and Stanton. He's only got a 700 OPS. 700. Not above average, but around average. Yeah, I would agree. That means Judge is about to get really, really hot. You saw Cleveland basically deciding, we're going to pitch to Stanton. We're going to have to pitch to Soto because we don't want to face Judge. So Soto benefited, Stanton benefited, Judge didn't. His presence alone, again, is something that you just can't put a statistic around. So yeah, I would agree. Judge has just been fine. But in the World Series, he's bound to get hot. He's bound. These human beings that don't play like human beings, they play like superstars, they play like aliens, they play like Martians, and I don't mean Jason Dominguez. They find a way. So Judge is waiting in the weeds. And he's got a score to settle. Let's not forget, his 2023 was derailed because of Dodger Stadium, because of that fence that's out there that he injured his toe on. He's got a score to settle. So I figuratively am going to say my money's on Judge, but you can put money on just about anybody in this series because that's how gambling works. That's how baseball works. Everybody can have a good game, but only one team can win. And I'm really looking forward to digging into this series and the matchups a little bit more. Dodgers, Yankees, got to say right now I'm leaning towards the Dodgers. But nevertheless, we're going to see Ohtani and Judge against one another in the batter's box. We're not going to see Ohtani pitching against Judge, probably. And it's really no, because Dave Roberts was asked again, are we going to see Ohtani pitch maybe in the World Series? And despite the fact that Roberts said no, thanks for checking in, I think there still could be a chance. I just don't know how you use him. I don't, because once he comes out of the game, you're then going to lose your DH. And is it going to be late in the game? Does Ohtani actually have better stuff than someone like a Blake Trinan or an Evan Phillips or whoever the hot hand is at that point? I don't think so. I wouldn't think so. So I would tend to lean towards the idea that Ohtani will not be pitching in this World Series. But maybe. That's a storyline. That's a great teaser. That's a great teaser to have. World Series begins on Friday in L.A. First two games are going to be in L.A. on Friday and Saturday. Sunday, day off. Yep, you go watch football. Sunday will be a day off for the World Series. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium. No advertisers, no brands. Nope, it's Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium will host on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, games 3, 4, and 5. Day off on Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday, back at Dodger Stadium, November 1st and November 2nd. We could be going into November. Are we going to have another Mr. November? The original one was New York Yankee and Derek Jeter. They didn't win the World Series that year, but nevertheless, he was the original Mr. November. Maybe we get a new one. Maybe it's Aaron Judge. Now that you're throwing a little shade out at him, maybe it's going to be him. I'm super excited. There's going to be new shows all this week. Still got to talk about the Rockies. They're going to be cutting some payroll. Is that good? Is that bad? What does that mean? A couple teams might get put up for sale. Are the Rockies going to be one of those teams? Tune into the Rockies Insider. Make sure you're following me over on the social medias as well. I love having conversations with you out there. I love trying to break some news, giving a little commentary, giving a little context to any of the transactions that go on or the news of the day at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, or at Rockies_Insider. Make sure you're checking the channel over on YouTube if you're just consuming this as a podcast. Everybody, thank you so much. Appreciate that. All the momentum you've given me, as always. But as I like to say, that momentum, it's only as good as my next podcast. So I'll talk to you then.